Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd. Today, we're diving into the Revolutionary FAR Overhaul, or RFO, the new FAR Part 15, Negotiated Procurements.
Jason, you've spent years practicing under the old FAR Part 15. I won't tell you how many years, but years. But this new iteration brings revolutionary changes aimed at streamlining source selection. Do you think it's possible?
You make me feel old. Actually, I've always appreciated the FAR Part 15 framework for its complex high-dollar acquisitions, although it could be a little rigid, right? I'm interested to see how the RFO makes it more malleable, if you will.
So one of the first big shifts is semantic. We're ditching the word discussions. That word is dead to you now. Don't say it. It's officially negotiations.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay. So yeah, semantic. why the change then?
I think it's supposed to be a philosophical shift. Historically, discussions often meant just giving offerors a chance to correct weaknesses and deficiencies. It was a problem-fixing mechanism. Negotiations reflects a move toward robust bargaining on material elements like intellectual property, licensing, pricing, after the competitive range is set.
Are you saying that instead of just like saying fix this to a contractor, the contracting officer now can like bargain?
Exactly. You still must negotiate with everyone in the competitive range once. But the KO can engage in multiple sessions with a specific offer without being obligated to do the same for everyone else. The KO can discuss other aspects to material enhance the proposal, not just weaknesses and deficiencies.
That's fantastic.
It gives them a lot more power to really try and get the best deal.
Nice. Good to hear. Well, that's a good change, a welcome change, I think. We'll see how it works out in practice, though. There may be a lot of litigation over that, huh?
A lot of litigation. I think this is one where documentation is key of why you're continuing to negotiate with one over the other. I think that's just going to be something we'll have to encourage KOs to do if they're going to be doing multiple sessions.
Good point.
The RFO has also simplified the definition of deficiency.
Ah, so under the old rules, a deficiency was a material failure or a combination of significant weaknesses. And I think that's what we most often saw, that those significant weaknesses had to create some sort of unacceptable risk in the eyes of the KO, right? What is it now?
Now, a deficiency is simply any part of an offer that does not conform to a material requirement of an RFP. You no longer have to aggregate minor issues into one giant document. You just address weaknesses directly during negotiations.
Interesting. Okay. What about the whole discussions versus communications dance we used to do?
Communications are gone. They have been replaced by an expanded role for clarifications.
Oh.
So you can use clarifications at any time between proposal receipt and award to resolve clerical errors or clarify ambiguities. So you can technically have a clarification after the competitive range has now been set.
Interesting. Okay, but still limited to nothing that is going to materially change the proposal.
Exactly. They are for understanding and solving minor issues, not for re-engineering the entire offer.
Gotcha. Okay, what else?
So we also have two new evaluation methods. So the first, the highest technically rated with a fair and reasonable price, or HTR-FRP.
Oh gosh.
I know, it's a long acronym.
That's exciting. So is, you know, just using the title, is this just a trade-off where technical quality is more important?
Not quite. It's actually a sequential non-comparative process.
Oh, say more.
So I know, it's a hefty title. You evaluate all the proposals on technical factors to find the highest rated one first. Then you evaluate that one offer's price for fairness. If it's fair and reasonable, the award is made.
So are you saying you don't actually have to trade off between price and technical? You just say it's like the technical is fantastic, the most fantastic, really. And then, yeah, the price justifies it?
Exactly. It's essentially the opposite of LPTA. I think the goal here is to reduce the lengthy process of justifying paying for a higher rated offer. So it makes it quicker. So no need for that 50-page SSDD to justify it. This isn't technically a new approach. It has been used before for IDIQ contracts, and you actually find a small section in the Formation of Government Contractors book by Sabinick and Nash.
It's my favorite book.
I know. It's the Bible.
Yeah. Scrolling through part 15, I did see a new section entitled Phased Acquisitions. What is that about?
So that is the second type of source selection approach you can take, the second new one.
Oh.
So it's governed by FAR 15.103-4. It's specifically for complex or high-risk acquisitions. Instead of one giant proposal process, you break the acquisition into distinct parts with separate awards.
Oh, is that essentially like one of those down selects that folks were using, but we didn't really have a name for it or procedures for it in the FAR?
I think so. It'll be interesting to see how these play out as well once they are used, and hopefully are. To see how they exactly work and see if that is the process that it's kind of mirroring.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So what does the FAR say about that one?
It reduces source selection timeframes and gives the government flexibility to adjust requirements between phases. So just remember, the RFP must establish the phases and the criteria offers must meet to progress to the next step. I think we're seeing some of that flexibility from non-FAR-based contracts creep into the FAR overhaul with some of these new approaches.
Gotcha. Okay. Are we still evaluating past performance?
Still required, but the RFO removed the oversat language. So now past performance is required unless the KO documents why it isn't appropriate for that specific acquisition.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they took that out, but it was left out in the RFO, so I just wanted to note it.
Yeah, good to know, right? Because I don't necessarily recall like it being a big deal under SAT, but you know, maybe we want to weed out some folks.
Mm-hmm.
What about the competitive range? Any changes there?
Yes. It is now defined as offers best suited for further negotiation.
Wow.
This gives the KO more discretion than the old most highly rated standard. So you could have, there could be some different offers in there that might not have had gotten to that most highly rated.
Yeah, it sounds like there's just more discretion, which is one of the principles of the RFO. So, Okay.
There has also been some language change that I am not sure was planned, but if you look in the competitive range section, KOs must negotiate with each responsible offer in the competitive range.
So does that mean we're moving up the responsibility determination then?
I'm not sure, because I'm not sure that's what the drafters meant to do, but I haven't asked them. But I think that's an area to watch out for, because that, if that's what they did intend, that is going to change having to do a responsibility determination on all the offers in the competitive range versus just the potential awardee, which is usually when you do it.
Right. Yeah, that may be a little bit more work earlier on, right?
Yeah, that would essentially cut against them moving faster. So that's why I don't think that word responsible was supposed to be in there or be used as the way that we as contract attorneys see that word responsible usually meaning.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, what else? What else is there?
Part 15 was also subject to the same restructuring to follow the contract process: pre-solicitation and solicitation, evaluation and award, post-award, and then contract pricing and unsolicited proposals. Because we went from 6 subparts to 5, there has been a renumbering for almost everything. Not much was actually deleted in this part as well. It was more just rearranged, reworded, and then streamlined. So I think those are good changes, actually.
Yeah. I think the plain language changes are really good. It'll just be interesting to see how some of this changes or like shake up, right? Especially once the GAO and COFC get their hands on some protests as a result of these changes.
Yeah, the changes are a lot easier to follow, find what you need in the new FAR part, but it's going to be a bit of a learning curve, I think, for everyone, just because the numbers have changed.
It's a good time to be a contract attorney.
Job security.
Well, thanks again, Ellie, for walking me through FAR Part 15 today.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of FAR and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in our show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.